aberrations. The night before she had not paid much attention to their gear. Now she found that they were prepared for a long march, in almost any conditions, with two pack animals along. "When the king traveled," explained Leith, "we cared for his things. Had you wanted it, we could have brought the royal tent as well. They had a small one. It would sleep all six of them if they crowded in." "I shall feel like a rich woman yet," said Pox, as they served out hot porridge and sib. She noticed that they took guard duty in turns, two by two, even though they were in friendly country. After the break, Pox led the way south, checking with Garrus at intervals. She could feel a certain difference in the direction he thought the steading lay, a break in the forest tag. No one suggested stopping long at midday, though they rested the animals, and by mid-afternoon they had found a large farmstead. A log palisade surrounded a stone house, other houses clustered near it. Dogs ran out barking. A man in fur-lined leathers came out to look at them and waved. Ascariel and Leith rode ahead. Pox had not realized that they carried pennants until they lifted them, the royal crest on one and, to her greater surprise, Gerd's crescent on the other. By the time she rode up to the man, the squires had explained the quest, and the man bowed.
"Be welcome here, Lady Poxenarian. Luck to your quest. We sorrow for the king's death. The messenger stopped here on the way to Ilium Holverics and told us of it."
"We thank you for your kindness, sir," said Pox. "This is Lord Selvis," said Leith quickly.
"Ride on in," said the man. "There's a barn inside the palisade. We've wild cats in the wood. We stall all the horses at night."
All day the red horse had traveled like any other, but when Ascariel reached for his rein, he drew back. Pox grinned.
"I'll take him myself, Ascariel. He let the stable hands at Chea."
"I had asked, and after that perhaps he understood the emergency." They walked to the barn together, the red horse breathing warm on Pox's neck at every step. When she took off saddle and bridle, she found him unmarked, as if from a grooming. She picked up a brush anyway, but the horse nudged her hand aside. Ascariel stared.
"I never saw a horse like that."
"Nor I. He came out of the north, one day at the Duke's stronghold, in northern Saya, slick-coated, as he is now, and full of himself."
"How long have you had him?"
"That was this winter. Not long." Pox poured a measure of grain in the box, after sniffing it for mold. She pulled an armload of hay down and wedged it in the rack. "I had known that paladins had special horses, but, as you may have heard, I became a paladin in an unusual way, not at Finn Paneer, so I didn't know how, or even if, I would get mine."
"What do you call him?"
"If he has a name, he hasn't shared it with me." The next day was clear again. They made good time along snowy trails that Garrus remembered. That night they camped. The squires did not want to let Pox take a share of the watch. "I'm not the queen," she reminded them, "and I'm used to night watches, and younger than most of you."
"But we depend on your abilities," said Garrus. "You should take what rest you can."
In the end, Pox simply got up when she woke in the midnight hours and went out to see stars tangled in the bare tree limbs. When she'd used the little trench they'd dug, she spoke to Surya, the squire on watch. "I'm wide awake, and I need to think. Go sleep. I'll wake the next in an hour or so." Surya, the most junior and only a few years older than Pox, nodded and went into the tent. Pox walked around the camp slowly. It was a wind.